The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome and happy new year, everyone. Welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I hope that this show is just as good as Bring It to the Table.
Is the audio good? Sorry.
No, you're fine. We have our antagonist over here. Whoops, did we lose somebody?
We might have, but he'll come back.
That's fine. Okay, so we lost our connection to the other side of the planet, so let me ask our tech about this. VRM, what the hell is going on back there?
Give me a second, Nikki. I'm seeing stereo mix on speakers, and I'm seeing nothing on speakers. No, you piece of... God. No! The stereo mix is coming in on the wrong end.
No. Okay, is Stepway crossing wires?
Have I ever mentioned how much I hate Microsoft support?
Yes, we unplugged it and turned it back on again. Good Lord. So, okay, so the soundboard's toast.
And it's not ponies, it's not me, it's not Josh, it's Microsoft because they have to buy everything and they end up fucking it up.
Damn it. Okay.
Damn, VRM. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I was worried that all the stuff he was playing with back there got you disconnected. So, welcome from the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Oh, no, everything's fine. My phone just closed, so I actually had to get on the Skype on the freaking computer. So.
Yeah. Welcome back to this side of the interwebs. And finally... the only man that is keeping us from going to jail over all the nonsense that happens on this show, Jason Block.
put it to you this way. If I didn't have to record this, I'd be in bed sleeping because I think I have a cold. Finally, it came to me, but ugh, I feel like crap. I think I feel like Sami Zayn did when he got beat up by Strowman this week.
When they were done, he wasn't feeling anything.
No. But... we'll get to that in a little bit. Ugh.
Yeah. I'll take a look around on my handy-dandy news sheet. When some rumors started bouncing around that we know that Paige is still signed, but there was talk that she might show up on TV. That didn't happen, but I guess she went to go make sure that Poppy gets out of jail.
Oh, what do you do now?
That's a good question.
I've got the scoop on that one.
Talk to me.
Okay. This actually was not Alberto Del Rio's fault this time.
Apparently, that's his story.
Well, no. It's been confirmed. Apparently, Alberto Del Rio's brother and him went out to the club, and Alberto Del Rio's brother was a bit, "How are you going?"
Drunk
and disorderly, and started a fight, which Alberto Del Rio, being the good brother he is, went and helped out so his brother didn't get his ass kicked.
But then
his brother beat the hell out of him. Then he had a fight with his brother, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's what's led to both him and his brother, Mr. Mascara getting arrested.
Oh. Well, that's only because that fight was unsanctioned, right? Come on,
no,
guys.
It's because cockfights are illegal in Mexico.
Well, that's definitely not going to hurt his. That might hurt his chances to come back to the Fed, but I don't think he's in any hurry. Paige is unfortunately under contract and still healing from neck surgery, so she kind of doesn't have a. She doesn't really have a choice right now. What else have I got up here at the top of the list? Something we've been monitoring for a little while. Jason, you sent me some information about the Snuka trial that Snuka has been declared...
non compos mentis is the best way to put it.
So, why is it the family attorney, you're saying the family of the murdered is upset?
Yeah, let me pull this up because it's not actually very good at all. For those who don't know, in 1987, Jimmy Superfly Snuka allegedly murdered his girlfriend Nancy Argentino, and this is one of the biggest stories that happened in the state of Pennsylvania. Okay. And what happens is that in the Allentown Morning Call, which is the newspaper in question, there was a closed door meeting on hearing on Tuesday, and Judge Kelly L. Banach, granted the defense attorney Robert Kirwan's motion to end the case, which stalled in June when the judge found that Snuka, who was 73, incompetent to stand trial, okay? The medical evidence shows he was not getting better. In fact, he was getting worse. Speaking publicly since the gag order was lifted, Kirwan, the lawyer, called the prosecution's case doomed from the start. The chief deputy district attorney, but his office issued a statement saying, "We are considering our options. We'll decide at appropriate time what action we'll take." Okay. She was just 23, the woman, when she died in 1983, allegedly after being rushed to a hospital from his hotel room with a serious injury. Okay. Unfortunately, she was also Snuka's mistress at the time.
Okay. Ah.
And, he expect the Argentina's older sister says she wasn't surprised when she got the call from the district attorney stating that the judge dismissed the charges. "We kind of expected it because there were so many ridiculous things going on with the defense," she said. Her name is Lorraine Salome. Snuka was charged with third-degree and involuntary manslaughter. A county grand jury determined Snuka repeatedly assaulted her at the former George Washington Motor Lodge and then left her in the bed to die on May 10, 1983. The charges came to the light after a 2003 investigation from the newspaper, which uncovered a previously unseen autopsy report that concluded that the case should have been investigated as a homicide. There was a four-day hearing in June in which the judge found Snuka incompetent. During the hearing, the defense expert described Snuka as a shell of a man who did not recognize family members and believed the police officers who arrested him were fans sneaking the autograph. But a psychiatrist hired for the prosecution testified that Snuka was faking dementia, noting they held lively conversations with courtroom staff, but then became slack-jawed when news cameras followed him outside the courthouse. Okay?
Okay.
The judge questioned Snuka herself at the end of the hearing, concluding he was substantially mentally impaired to the point he did not understand court proceedings and unable to assist in his defense. And at that time, the judge said that she was satisfied with Snuka would not regain competency and, quote, "it would be unjust to assist to the defense," okay? Unjust to resume the prosecution, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, he was also too sick to travel from Florida. Supposedly, he's got stomach cancer, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this isn't this punishment enough? I mean, if this actually went to trial, he isn't going to see the end of it.
No. And also, the sister called the Snuka's incompetency defense a total act. So there's no real justice here. There is no real justice for anybody.
No, but it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation at this point, because even if Snuka is faking the competency, the stomach cancer is going to take him before the trial does. And the trial's only going to exacerbate that. So, you know, how soon do you want him to die?
Yes. Now, here's the more interesting question. WWE ain't going to touch him even after he's dead. Not even close.
No. Hey. To the point they've even pulled his card from Supercards. I cannot get that card.
Wow.
It's on my catalog list, but I can't draw it.
It's just crap, you know. It's just sad all around. It really is.
It is. I mean, I feel for the family that lost a wonderful young lady. But if they were so adamant about this, they really should have done. This should have been investigated a whole lot sooner. This is something that I'm worried about with other cases that I'm not going to go into here. That the same thing is going to happen. I think that the family should take solace in the fact that Snuka is not receiving any royalties. Or if he is, he's receiving pennies. That he is probably not going to make it through the year. He is persona non grata from WWE, which is his bread and butter. He's in no shape to go to an independent show, even to sign autographs. So he can't make any money. I know that's no consolation, but you're not going to be able to get her back.
Now, my interesting question for it is, obviously, with the whole Snuka trial happening as well, it's also affected his daughter that was in I think she still is with WWE, isn't she? I don't know.
Tamina's still with the company. Now, she's been out for a little while with an injury. And I'm guessing, you know, I heard recently she was ready to go. It's just a matter of where to put her.
Yeah, well, that's just another thing, too. Like, I thought that she was healed up ages ago, and I thought the trial was just what they were keeping her off TV for.
Well, sins of the father, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, well, we've now with it being dismissed, does she get returned ASAP? Hell, does she get revealed to be La Luchadora?
No. No. La Luchadora is a short thing. She would be,
well,
La Luchadora. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know, we still don't know who La Luchadora really is. I mean, yes, it was unmasked as Alexa Bliss on SmackDown, but then another one showed up. So, you know, who is it? Is it The Miz? He's pulled this shit once.
Well, he is a kind of a boob, you know.
Just saying. But yeah, I mean, you're right. There is no justice for either side, but I would think that there is karmic punishment going on. And that's about all you guys are going to get. So they're going to erase. So Snuka is going to be slowly erased, and then Tamina is not going to have a last name when she comes back on TV.
Nope.
Well, she didn't really have a last name to begin with. I mean, they originally brought her out as Tamina Snuka, but then just changed it to Tamina.
Thought it was the other way around. I might be I'm good at misremembering stuff, so.
No, it was the original way it was done, because it was during the time that they were doing one names for everybody.
So.
Were they? Yeah.
So. Go ahead.
No, it's just saying, yeah, were they? There were a few that got hit with the one name thing. They changed, like, Tamina Snuka to Tamina and a few others, but I can't remember who they were.
So, hopefully, I really don't want this to affect Tamina's Tamina's career any, because she's very good, and we haven't seen, we need to see more of her stuff. And go ahead and distance her from her family line. Or even, does the Fijian line cross into the Samoan dynasty at all?
Yeah, she's already been. Everyone already knows she's like. I think she's already been said to be Rock's cousin and everything else. So,
well, I know Roman is, and I know Nia Jax is. I just didn't know where she fit on this thorny tree that we call the Samoan dynasty.
If I remember correctly from when she got brought out with the Usos, they said that it was their cousin.
So she comes in through the Fatu line. Never mind, it's too complicated.
Yeah. We'll just say that Jimmy Snuka slept with one of the Fatus, okay? We'll just leave it at that.
Now, don't get the Usos in trouble, even though they're heel. So, speaking of Hall of Fame, somebody blabbed.
Somebody already blabbed twice.
Twice.
Yeah. We've got two names going for the Hall of Fame. And the first I want to agree with, and that's Diamond Dallas Page.
For many different reasons.
Hell, I want him to go in the Hall of Fame, and I want him to get the Warrior Award. For all the help that he has given people and other wrestlers.
He took Scott Hall, who was very bad damaged goods,
mm-hmm.
and got him back on straight and narrow, or straight and narrow-ish.
Straight and narrow-ish, yes.
Ish is a good word. As I mentioned on a previous show, I ran into him at the airport. And he knows the struggle is real. There was a little alcohol on his breath. But that's why I went out to Twitter and said, you know, everybody send this man some positive vibes because he's still going.
Yeah. And the other one is IWC and everyone was going ballistic when they finally heard the second person's name because they were just like, finally, thank you, God.
Yes. We have 8 very good reasons. Oh, wait, no. He was a really good heel, too. Ravishing Rick Rude is our other incumbent, our other addition to the Hall of Fame. And like I said, there's 8 very good reasons he should be in it. But he's also a phenomenal heel.
Good. During around 1986 to 1989,
mm-hmm.
Rude with Bobby Heenan was the, oh my God, he was awesome. And remember, he was also in the Dangerous Alliance, wasn't he?
I believe so.
Okay. With some guy you may know.
With some obnoxious Jewish guy with a phone who wouldn't shut up, but not like Rude needed a mouthpiece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was in WCW from like 85 to 86. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he debuted in 87? No, not Andy Fernandez, wrong guy. Yeah.
And he was an amazing heel, a man who was able to get Jake the Snake Roberts cheered, even if it required at one point his tights getting pulled down.
Right, and the thing is that he was only in the Fed 3 years, but boy, were those 3 years hot.
Yeah, he made very good use of those 3 years. Like I said, he's a great promo. He had an amazing look. And even as, you know, as a pseudo-manager role when he was briefly in DX in the late 90s.
Yep.
You know, he still had it. You know, we lost him too soon.
Yep, and yes, he was in the Dangerous Alliance. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, but again, Rude was one of those guys who just, yeah, he died at like 40, 44 or something like that.
And might be something that was maintaining the eight particular reasons why I was enjoying watching him. But go ahead, Shane.
I was gonna say, but an interesting question has been brought up, because now that we've got two of the names that have been leaked, and we know for a fact that Royal Rumble is being held in San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
Does this mean that we could possibly getting further inklings towards maybe a Taker Hall of Fame?
Monday is going to be real interesting because of that.
Mm-hmm. That's true, because they're gonna be in San Antonio, so we're getting a visit from the Dead Man, and we're getting a visit from Shawn Michaels. And unfortunately, Hunter's a heel right now, so I can't have any shenanigans with those two.
Oh, you can always have shenanigans with DX. I don't care if they're face or heels. It's a click, goddammit.
That's true. Well, maybe Hunter will show up and he'll pal around with Michaels, and then Rollins will crash that party. I'm going to be mad if this doesn't happen.
Well, no, because he's actually promoting a faith-based movie, so I don't think there's going to be shenanigans.
Boo.
He's promoting a movie. Is it called The Resurrection of Gambit Stone? I've just seen some clips of it. It looks pretty good. Actually.
He looks like he's a really good actor in it too, I'm not gonna lie.
So, you know, I would hope for some shenanigans, because he's there for cheap plugs.
If he appeared on SmackDown, or if he was rumored to be appearing on SmackDown, people would be losing their minds going, oh my god, the AJ versus Shawn Michaels thing is happening. It's happening, people.
Nope. Sean's happily retired. Gonna stay happily retired. Damn it.
You want to know something? Yes, damn it. I think Taker is gonna go. I think Taker goes in. I think they announce it.
But we had an interesting chant on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I can't put him in the Hall of Fame because the crowd is right. Undertaker Cena needs to happen.
And Tweener Cena, by the way, is awesome right now.
Yes.
I'm loving this new Cena, by the way.
I am digging this Tweener Cena, who is starting to act like the veteran who's like, you know, what all you newbies think you're doing stealing my spot? And what do you makes you think I'm gone?
I just love the memes that I'm seeing because of his whole tweener status. It's like John Cena tells us to recognize him, but yet for the past 10 years he's been telling us we can't see him.
But it's true. But I'm digging it. I really am. I'm digging it. I'm hoping that this is actually this is the twist that, yes, heel AJ is the best AJ, but wouldn't this be cool to turn AJ face again?
Could this be the double turn at the Rumble? Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Full-blown John Cena heel. Wow.
Now, I don't see that. I see angry tweener Cena that's still popular. But speaking his mind. And taking it from probably actual complaints from other older wrestlers.
Okay.
So we'll see. It's something to pay attention to. But we need to talk about Raw before we really get in depth with SmackDown. With the rumors that El Generico was lost in Mexico late last year, I was worried that we were going to lose Sami Zayn when Braun Strowman got his hands on him, and yeah, it just freaking Akuma'd him.
Did this just took Destruction to a whole new level. I mean, Sammy looked dead.
One we haven't seen on Raw in a long, not like on Raw, we haven't seen this level of
carnage.
When was the last time we saw something like that on Raw?
It's been a while.
The year was 2003 when a young Shane McMahon was getting himself handcuffed and his balls electrocuted.
No. There was a day in 2002 where a big guy just ran into the ring and murdered the Hardy Boys.
Oh, God, yep.
Lesnar, oh, my God. And then Lesnar took that unprotected chair shot to the head. Oh, my God.
And all it did was piss him off.
I mean, you couldn't do that now. People would go bananas if you did that right now.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably one of the concussions he didn't know about.
Again, all you did was make him mad. So,
but as far as Stronum Zayn, this was the right move. Stronum right now is looking awesome, and I see him with the U.S. title belt within the next month or two.
Which is interesting because I'm surprised I'm not hearing more IWC, wah, Zayn lost, they're burying him.
Because no one in the IWC is going to go, oh yeah, I could have easily taken Stronum. Bullshit.
I think that might be because they're getting something that they want with the storyline, because there's actually a story here.
The devil you say, they don't tell stories on Raw.
With this, they are. Okay.
Yes. And it's a good story. It's a very good story. Here we have Strowman, who is the, is a Vince McMahon wet dream.
Yeah, no shit.
And Sami Zayn, the internet darling. And Vince McMahon getting his way for the moment.
For the moment.
I shouldn't put it that way, but that's kind of what I read into it. But it's something that's building them both at the same time. Strowman's is continuing to be built as a monster heel that can move, that will kill you. This is our replacement for Kane.
And this might be a big call to make, but I'm going to make it just because this is how impressed I am with this man right now. This is the replacement for Mark Calaway.
Wow.
I was hoping this was going to be Bray Wyatt, but I see where you're coming from.
Unless Bray Wyatt wins the Royal Rumble, I honestly don't think Vince has any stock in him. I think Vince blew his stock with Wyatt with the Undertaker match. He made the wrong call.
No, though, they know where they blew the stock with Wyatt. They blew the stock with Wyatt in the Cena match.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
And it's taken this long to build him back up, and the tag run, however brief, helped.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. With the Taker match, a Taker match was the thing that would have had everyone forget about Cena. Everyone would have been like, he just beat Taker. It's like, that's enough. He's the new face.
Well, the way I see it is that even if Bray lost, but at least it was competitive, I'd have been okay with that. Or something signaling after the match that Taker gives him his respect. Kind of like what Taker did with Jeff Hardy back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, if they both shook hands in the ring, that would have been it. Everyone would have been like, there's your man.
Because like I said, the changing of the guard with that one, I wanted to see where, Taker is brought to his absolute limit against Wyatt. Taker might win the match. But he might pay tribute to Wyatt. We get a flash of lightning and he's gone. And that's the last you ever see a Taker. Until the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but I think after that, after the Wyatt match, I think they were going to do Sting versus Taker, but then, of course, the tragedy that happened with Sting killed that.
Well, no. As Bret Hart would go, it just blamed Seth Rollins.
Yes, which he got buried by JBL on that one, but we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there. The New Day needed something new to do, so they're all getting into the Rumble. That's going to be interesting and a whole lot of fun, especially if they end up having to go up against each other.
Which they will.
Wouldn't it be funny if they were 1, 2, and 3?
I think they should come out back to back to back. And I think they should actually have a moment where they can, you know, they can dance and twerk, and, you know, somehow Xavier gets a hold of his trombone, and then Big E tries to throw them both out.
And then requisite Kofi spot is requisite.
Yes, requisite Kofi awesome spot, since John Morrison's in Lucha Underground, damn it. So, looking forward to that, of course. Braun Strowman is in the Rumble. Nobody's looking forward to that except the fans.
We've got a new number one contender for the Women's Championship.
Yes. Now, there's actually been some IWC question marks over this one. So, Bayley getting a number one contendership by beating this badass that nobody else has been able to beat. Are we just doing this to move some feuds around to get Sasha away from Charlotte?
Please.
Well, the way I've read it's being panned out, I don't know if I agree with it, but from what I saw on Raw, it looks like that's the case. It looks like Bayley's the new Daniel Bryan, in which it's going to be her versus Stephanie's authority, in which Charlotte's the new Seth Rollins.
I'm okay with this.
I don't mind it. I reckon that if that's the case, we're going to see either Stephanie interfering or screwing Bayley over at Royal Rumble, hence the reason why we're going to see Bayley versus Charlotte at Mania.
Again, I see no problem with this.
No, I'm all for it too, and for the IWC people that are complaining about Bayley getting a title shot, it's just like Paul Heyman and JBL said on the big talk. What was it? Bring it to the table. It's either put up or shut up.
And this show needs to be shown on broadcast network somehow in its entirety to every single fan, casual, regular, IWC, I don't care. This was, to me, was catharsis. Listening to JBL and Paulie telling Rosenberg, look, what we're trying to do is a business, and we know what we're doing. If you don't like it and you want it to change, complaining on the internet's not going to fix it. And yes, they complain about everything anyway, so why should we listen?
Bingo. Fucking A. Yes, yes, and yes. Holy crap. I put it to you this way. I loved Bring It to the Table. I loved it. It's the best thing the network has put out in ages. And I want them to do it every week.
I'd like to spread it out a little bit, because I'm worried that it'll fall into the trap of, you know, but the fans want this, and Paulie just saying to put up or shut up.
Maybe once a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to me once a month with the current feuds, and that way, if we do start fading back into the IWC crybaby argument, It doesn't kill the show.
Okay.
Because I really feel that at points it felt like JBL and Uncle Paul were ganging up on this poor guy.
That's because Rosenberg needs to grow a spine. And yeah, that's right. We're here at NAWC, gang up on you too. No.
I'm just saying, where do I sign up? I want to be at that table with JBL and Paulie, and I want to discuss some stuff.
Hell yes. No, I think Rosenberg did really well with what he had to work with. Yeah, there were moments where it seemed like he was getting ganged up on, but that's just because he didn't, no offense to Rosenberg, but you did not come prepared. You came into, you were on a show with JBL, who is a financial genius, has a book and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Paul Heyman, one of the greatest minds, one of the greatest talkers, and one of the best managers in wrestling history. And yet you asked him, no offense, you were asking him stupid questions in which he pretty much buried you with them.
Yes. He will take your stupid question and beat you over the head with it. And then JBL will call you an idiot to your face with a smile.
Because when it came to the biggest one he got called out on, was the 3 hours of Raw, which is what what majority of fans have been complaining about, and he did not come prepared for it. Why is they asked him a very simple question. Do you think Raw should be taken down to 2 hours? If so, why?
And he didn't have an answer.
No, he tried beating around the bush with it and being like, entertainment-wise, yes. It's like, and Heyman's like, we're not asking you for entertainment purposes. We're asking you, do you think it should be taken the 2 hours?
And why? And then they were gonna shut him down again because WWE that extra hour of revenue is what, another 8 figures?
Yeah. Is another 1.7 million.
Okay, it's a solid 7 figures. Nobody's going to walk away from that money. And yeah, WWE had a little bit of growing pains. But as long as Bonnie Hammer says, we want 3 hours, Vince and Hunter are going to say, we'll get you 3 hours.
And here's the thing. I will admit I was a bit surprised by JBL's comment because we know JBL's given crap to some of the cruiserweights in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But JBL was on this show and he stood up for the cruiserweights. He said, look, man, you've got the cruiserweights who are making up that hour for you. Well, Jesus Christ, calm down.
Yeah, but it's and he's right. We are getting, we're getting bonus footage, for lack of a better term, with another style of wrestling that is starting to develop its own storylines, that is starting to grab attention to the casual fans. This is, just like the women's matches are no longer piss break matches, the cruiserweight matches won't be piss break matches in the next few months because people are going to understand the personalities of these guys. We've got, the only one that, most casual fans are going to know right off the bat is Neville. They're starting to get into Rich Swann. They haven't quite taken to Cedric Alexander. And for some reason, everybody's rooting for Noam Dar.
Creepy bastard?
The creepy little bastard.
I mean, Johnny Curtis and Christian are both looking at him going, damn! And I'm digging it. I'm digging it. We have Brian Kendrick, who, if you've been watching for at least last decade, you recognize him and you remember him, and what he's come up with now is actually pretty wild. I've said this before, and it bears repeating. TJ Perkins has a great idea, but he's got too much going on, and he really needs to figure out what he wants to stick with.
TJ, I'll be honest. You need the mask back, brother. You need a mask.
I would settle for him getting rid of the dab and all the other stupid,
trying to be too hip for the room.
Yeah. You know, be a video game geek. An entrance that Xavier Woods would murder you for. And I'm surprised he hasn't just come out and said it.
And boy, speaking of them, they got a little dirty. They got a little PG in their entrance this week.
What?
Talking about intercourse and going in and out and up and down and things like that. You know.
At first, I thought they were doing a subtle plug to up, up, down, down. Then it went way south.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
That's right up there with. Can you say penis on TV?
We talk sex. We talk sex.
Well, I mean, it's just the stupid jokes with Francesca. The whole thing with Titus O'Neil trying to get his hands on Francesca, and Xavier Woods protecting that trombone like it is his girlfriend, and may very well be. I don't know. I could make a joke about the hand motions, but I'm not.
If all I know is I'm glad I didn't hear the line of "No, you're not blowing on my woman." We heard that. No,
he's already done that though. He did that a while ago.
Damn.
You remember when the New Day were feuding with Enzo and Cass?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Enzo took off with Francesca. And he was talking about playing her up and down the street. How you doing? And Xavier flat out said, "Nobody blows Francesca but me."
Exactly. She's a one-woman instrument, so to speak.
What's better than roses on on your piano?
Tulips on your organ, yes, sir.
Thus. Okay, I'm gonna. Yuck.
Stop that.
I don't know what got.
Boy, I stopped your asses quick.
Shane, you were going to go say?
Yeah.
I was gonna do a nice little segue here. Like, let's get out of this territory. It's like. The only thing weirder than New Day talking about sex in the ring was the fact that Kevin Owens got his own show.
I thought he already had his show, yeah, a whole three-hour show.
Monday Night Raw.
That is the Kevin Owens show.
Yeah, and I still want to know who the dude was that was stuck with the sign over his head. I was hoping that was Rollins. I was hoping to God that was Rollins. Just for the sake that, then again, everybody else was coming out, so that would have gotten lost in the shuffle. So, yeah, Owens gets to interview Goldberg. And it sounded like Goldberg wanted to rip Kevin Owens' head off and can still do it. You talk about Lesnar. A wild Uncle Paul appears. He uses a microphone. He uses heel. It's very effective. A wild Roman Reigns appears. He uses intimidate. It's somewhat effective.
The crowd uses booze. It's super effective.
No, but with but
no, that's not super effective.
No, it's not anymore. But the thing is that Goldberg and Reigns, that was an interesting way of doing things.
I have $9.99 on this match. And then everybody gets trumped when a wild Braun Strowman appears.
He uses Braun! It's not very effective. Goldberg and Reigns use spear. It's super effective.
That was beautiful. That was so beautiful. But it took two main eventers to take down Strowman. That ain't the rub. I don't know what it is.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
But yes, without even turning it into a major schmoz. And little touches, like when Strowman came down the ramp and poor Uncle Paul's all curled up against the guardrail, please don't kill me.
Yeah.
And Strowman just casually just grabs his mic. Take it.
I think Paul, Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens were all glad they were wearing dark pants that night.
Seriously. Seriously. So yeah, there was that whole segment was just all kinds of awesome, and not the kind of awesome I expected, but I'll take it.
But do you know who I think had an awesome Tuesday night, per se? Believe it or not, even in his loss, was The Miz.
Miz is on freaking fire right now. And doing this whole TMZ level issue of picking on Renee Young, you know, being an item with Dean, and, you know, actually drawing some real business stuff into it.
And still trying to piss off Daniel Bryan by using his kicks.
Now, Miz finally got the Karma Hammer and got beat up by some lunatic who just happened to be Renee's boyfriend. And Miz was just crushed. To the point that he showed up on Talking Smack and just declared conspiracy and looked like he was going to slap Renee. Then he was going to slap Daniel twice.
Miz losing his shit is the most entertaining thing. It's great. It's awesome.
And it feels so genuine. What's that word? Organic.
But it looked like Miz wasn't the only one that had a brain snap on SmackDown.
We had another guy who really wanted to show the world, but apparently wants to show the world on his own. And to be honest, at first I thought it was just a temper tantrum. That he's just really, really frustrated. And then when shit went down in the locker room, I'm like, ooh. So here's my scenario, guys, and see what you think. Face Intercontinental Champion. Essentially the comeuppance on Miz for harassing and trying to shame Renee Young on TV. We have a brand new heel. Miz has probably had it with Daniel Bryan. Does Miz try to push for a trade to Raw?
Yes. Absolutely.
Miriam, what do you think?
Difficult to say regarding the feud status between the two.
Shane?
I reckon Miz has proven that, he's raw material.
And could
definitely shake Raw up a bit. I would definitely trade Miz. As for who I'd have him traded for, I don't know. But, yeah, if it leads to, a face Dean Ambrose versus heel Ziggler for the IC belt, I can live with that.
That's what I mean. Where do I sign? I would like to see that happen. Yeah, there's still, you could still do more with Dean, Renee, Miz, and Maryse. But Renee's not a wrestler. Maryse isn't a wrestler anymore. So we're not going to get anything settled on that end.
Unless we're getting a women's slapping contest, that's the only way I see Renee versus Maryse getting settled.
Well, they'll have to do it on SmackDown, otherwise Stephanie will beat them both. Let's see. So yeah, Ziggler being a heel, seeing how many faces he talked to in the locker room before he lost his shit and a fight broke out.
He even called Apollo Crews his real name, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if anyone caught that, whoops. But damn.
Whoops. I'm going to have to go back and look at that again. But the fact that he was dealing with Kalisto, Apollo Crews, Mojo, and there was somebody else in the room.
It was Crews. Who was it? It was Crews, Rhino, and...
Yeah, Rhino.
Yeah, Rhino and Mojo Rawley, yeah.
Yeah. Because Mojo's unfortunately in limbo because his buddy's laid up with a bum knee. Where's Slater?
He's with his kids, all 25 of them.
Will, Jill, Hester, Chester, Peter.
Yeah, because he and Slater broke up.
Yeah. So yeah, he's home tending to Will, Jill, Hester, Chester, Peter, Polly, Tim, Tom, Mary, Larry, and Little Clarinda.
I still can't believe you remember all that player names. Someone paid very close attention to those kids' names. Like, we've been hearing so much about these kids, I got to remember all their names. God damn it!
Well, I stole that from somewhere. So, stolen from a book in my childhood, and that was the first thing I thought of when they couldn't remember how many kids Slater really had. Mm-hmm. We spoke earlier about Cena's tweener turn. And we got a full dose of it during the contract signing with him and AJ. Now, AJ's gotten a couple of points towards face for the murder of James Ellsworth. Cena's got some points on the heel side by, you know, renouncing the New Era. As he used to be a good little face who would support new talent. And there was some shooting in there. There was some shooting in there. There was some continuity in there.
Yeah, let me see if I can find some of that stuff.
The table got flipped.
Yeah, after a wild lone wolf appeared.
Yeah.
But, I mean, put it to you this way. AJ basically called Cena out because the roles are reversed from a year ago. AJ said, you need this win, Cena. I don't. Okay? That's right. We can do this without you. Okay?
And we've been doing this without you. In fact, rub it in his face, the fact that SmackDown has finally caught up to and beaten Raw in the ratings, even though the night they did it, Cena came back.
And the ultimate shot was AJ, and I quote, "You'll never be as good as The Rock in Hollywood, and you'll never be as good as me in the ring." Boom. End of story.
Pipe. And bomb.
Points.
And by the way, Cena clapped back pretty hard, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, of course, as you said, a lone wolf comes out, which sets up next week, Corbin Cena.
Which I'm actually excited to see. I know people are kind of lukewarm on Corbin. This might be the boost he needs. We need to get him away from Ziggler and Kalisto, and give him some real, quote unquote, real competition. Nothing against Kalisto, and definitely nothing against Ziggler. But it's time for Corbin to pick on somebody his own size. What else? We mentioned La Luchadora earlier. And we got to find out who La Luchadora is. Last, 2 weeks ago it was Becky Lynch. This week it was Alexa Bliss. But there's another one. Shit, who's that?
Well, that's the what the hell is her name?
Is that Aaliyah?
No. It wasn't Aaliyah. She lost to Carmella. The other one.
Yeah, I was about to say. Speaking of which, you can't say that AJ killed James Ellsworth, and James Ellsworth got the consolation prize of Carmella. Like, really? Really?
Until Carmella turns on her.
Carmella's definitely gonna make sure that he ends up under a bus.
No, Jason, you had it right the first time when Carmella turns on her. You had it right the first time.
but, with the lots of La Luchadora, Luchadoras around, I just want to know who this other one is.
Yeah,
seriously.
So many rumors are going around about who it's going to be revealed to be. And none of them look like who it is.
Or who it might be.
Well, yeah, it's exactly. It's not Naomi. She's not tall enough.
From skin tone alone, and from the look of the face a little bit, I was like, holy crap, they're bringing back Layla. What the hell?
No, Layla's too short. Layla's 5 foot nothing.
Exactly, which then brings up my next person, who it made absolutely no bloody sense. People were saying it was Ember Moon that is potentially under this mask. I'm like, you're having a laugh, aren't you?
She's not ready to come up yet.
No, but the woman who is playing her is Deonna Purrazzo from NXT. That's why she's so brown.
Okay. Because there was talk that, you know, it might be Naomi, it might be, you know, the Ember Moon rumor I heard. In fact, we talked about that last week.
Returning Mickie James was another one.
I think that's going to be the actual final reveal, which I think would be pretty damn cool. I'll take it. Let's see. I wish I could be as excited for Nikki and Natalya as I am for this La Luchadora mess.
The
I really
Nikki
do.
The Nikki and Natalya thing does not feel... You know how you have been using organic stuff and most of it has been organic?
Yeah, this is about as organic as a box of Twinkies. It doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only reason why this does not feel organic is because you have two total divas stars facing off against each other, and you're just like, this doesn't work. Because you know you're going to eventually see this on an episode of Total Divas, and it's going to be like, I'm going to go out there and say that John never wants to marry you. It's like, oh, that's so nice. Shit like that. That's why it's like, yeah, nah, forget it. I don't even know why they did this match for.
I'm, you know, not interested, not impressed, and Nikki's going to win.
Yeah. So Had it have been Mickie James coming out and saying this stuff to Nikki, I would have lost my stuff. I would have said, take my $9.99.
Yeah, when Mickie James finally shows up on broadcast TV, I will be very happy. I love watching her work. What else have we got on here? Oh, American Alpha, who serendipitously are our tag team champions.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder punches a wall.
No, Emelina is taking care of him, calming him down.
No wonder she hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah, woo, woo, woo.
Don't start. People gonna die.
We're all going to hell anyway. Yeah, who drives the bus will be going. We're going to go to hell when we die. We're going to go to hell when we die. Anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, the two people, the two divas I will defend for the rest of time. Paige and Australia's own Emma. Those are the two divas I will defend till the end of time. But goddamn, this friggin' debut or this makeover is taking so long, and the fact that they're making Emma's things sound like porno soundovers, it's like not working. It's like, really? Come on. It's like, hey, Raw, you've been waiting for me for so long. I'll be coming soon. It's like, oh, God, relax.
Yeah, you've been saying that for the last 3 weeks. I know what's really going on. She's checking in on that Long Island IC. Anyway, how you doing?
Yeah.
She's checking on Long Island Ice something, or it doesn't start with Z, though.
I can't say it. I won't say it.
Then I'm just going to... It's not a segue, but I'm going to start talking about 205 Live.
Okay.
205 Live is getting some more name recognition with the return of Tajiri, and he looks great.
Yep.
He looks great. His moves are still crisp, and Kendrick getting a face full of green mist made my night. Mm-hmm. And yes, more Jack Gallagher on my television, please. The other thing I wanted to bring up, though, is that this whole rebirth, and I'm going to put it that way, rebirth of Neville in the cruiserweight division. This has been a godsend for him.
Exactly. He is now the big fish in a nice pond instead of a small fish swimming around sharks.
Yeah. He's not Mighty Mouse trying to beat up the big cats. He's the giant. Now he is the one to beat. He is the one who wants to completely take over the division. And if Kendrick had come out, he'd have punched him in the mouth. This is a much better fit for Pac. I'm really happy for what I'm seeing. It's going to disappoint some longtime fans of his, because you're not going to see the Red Arrow. He's not going to do that anymore. That's too flashy. That's the only time this is the only time you cheer for me. This is the only time you'll talk to me. The line of the week is still his best line. It's, now that I've left behind a wake of bodies, now everyone wants to talk to me.
Mm-hmm. And of course, later on, though, Gentleman Jack is still around.
Yes. More Gentleman Jack on my television, please.
Well, speaking of Neville and being a gentleman, who you got in Neville Rusev on FIFA?
The fans. The viewers.
I've got Rusev, because Rusev loves playing the head games with people.
That's gonna bend your brain when you're so used
to
seeing
the finals of the FIFA tournament.
Yeah, it's Neville with Man City versus Rusev with Real Madrid.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
And as part of the because of how badly he beat Roman in the first round, Rusev changed his up-up-down-down name to Roman Reigns. Because Roman Reigns never loses.
Oh. That is not right.
Oh, dear.
That is just not right. That's funny, though.
I'm sorry, but it's like, speaking as a parent, I can tell you right now, Roman Reigns has lost plenty of matches, especially screaming matches with his daughter. I can tell you, eventually as a parent, you're just like, screw it. Do what you want.
Yeah. No, Roman at least is comfortable in his on-air role. Now, getting his ass kicked that hard, I'm sure made many on the internet happy.
You'd think so, but no. Everyone's still complaining that he's not doing much with the United States title, yada, yada, yada.
That's all right. As you mentioned earlier in the show, I believe it was you, Strowman will beat him up for it.
Yes, and if it's not Strowman...
It'll become the biggest face in the company.
If it's not Strowman that does it, then everyone's going to be screaming, begging, pleading that someone in creative gives it to Jericho in the handicap match this week or next week.
Which I would also accept, because that'll just make him and Kevin Owens even more obnoxious. Although Jericho's coming up to the end of his run here, because he's got Fozzy stuff to do soon.
I know, but just one time, I think everyone would just like to see Jericho going, it's the gift of America. Drink it in, man.
I love the way he keeps mangling that line.
Well, speaking of gifts,
yes.
A couple days ago, this company in Tokyo gave us a bit of a gift.
Yes, a gift that I have to go unwrap and bask in.
Yeah, a gift of
Everyone's saying that you have to bloody watch it. I've not heard anyone stop talking about this goddamn match for the past week.
Meltzer gave it 6 stars.
Are you talking 6 Okada stars? The Okada match?
Okada Omega for the IWGP title at Wrestle Kingdom.
Holy cow! I've heard. Yeah,
and this match was so awesome. Hunter called him in the middle of the match.
The rumor is it's going to be on. It's going to be on Access over the next month, right?
Yeah, they were supposed to break it up in chunks. So it was going to be shown on Access. I've got other means.
Yeah, 46:45 official time.
Damn!
Wow!
I'm going to need more popcorn.
A couple other things. Cody Rhodes wrestled a 10-minute match against Juice Robinson, then jumped on a plane to where were they for?
Universal.
No. Jumped on a plane to Liverpool, and was wrestling for WCPW the very next night.
That's dedication, folks. But you notice he didn't fly. He didn't fly through OIA, despite the fact that the number two company is starting to get its shit together. I think.
Ding dong, the bitch is dead.
Yes.
I think they finally got the wording right on the contract saying, "Dixie, go home. You're drunk and stupid."
Yes, because not long after Wrestle Kingdom went off the air.
And there's that, by the way, for you.
Is that
It's a full goddamn match, damn you, Jason. Why did you have to bring this up now?
We will watch that later.
Yes,
I'm not going to be on the show all night. I want to see. I'll watch this. I will watch this after we're done. So let's finish.
shortly after this match had ended, I'm assuming, Anthem made an official press release where they have finally come to agreement to acquire majority stake in TNA, which is now, and they have formed a new operating company for it, Anthem Wrestling Exhibitions. Dixie is staying on as a minority stakeholder.
Oh, and that's not even the best part, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no. But wait, there's more.
As Anthem's first act as majority shareholders, someone at Anthem made 2 phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
One to GFW headquarters, giving Jeff Jarrett a call, saying, "Hey, Jeff, you feel like showing up to Impact this week?" Or I should say next week now, seeing as it's been and gone.
Yeah.
And Jeff said, "Not a problem." But then they thought, you know what? We've got Jeff. We need someone just a bit more surprising than Jeff and just as good, if not better. So they called up Dirty Dutch. Dirty Dutch Mantel. And Dutch said, "I'm in."
And both of them probably asked before they said yes, "Where's Dixie?"
To which Anthem said, "We gave her the cut."
Now, this said, Jared is, they are both working in behind the scenes roles right now.
No, that's fine. I just have this wonderful image, though, that if Jarrett was not told that Dixie was gone, he would have shown up at the front door with a guitar in his hand, ready for her.
VRM, they might be behind the scenes, but I can guarantee you we will be seeing the Bucks of Youth on Impact Wrestling next week. Well, I guarantee it.
The Bucks of Youth? I thought the Bucks of Youth are with Ring of Honor.
Well, they do Ring of Honor work, but they have done wrestling for Jeff Jarrett in GFW as well.
Yeah, and so, that said, they also did just lose the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles to, I'm going to mangle this name, Roppongi Vice.
Roppongi Vice.
Roppongi Vice. Okay, that's funny. I like that name.
A couple other things from Wrestle Kingdom. Adam Cole beat Kyle O'Reilly for the Ring of Honor world title.
Yeah, the rumor is Kyle O'Reilly might be going to WWE.
Now that's something. Speaking of things that people that might be going to WWE after losing that title match to Okada, Kenny Omega announced on his Twitter, his official Twitter, that he would be, quote, stepping away from Japan to reassess his future, and that he was, quote unquote, weighing all options.
Hunter called him in the middle of that damn match.
I think Paul Levesque's that much of a damn businessman that he knew this match was going to blow the friggin' roof off the place beforehand and called him before the match and said, kid, win, lose, or draw, I want you.
That's true. And the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, has been on the phone for a little bit, and he's called a few people back. And I was a little surprised to see an oh-no.
Oh, no.
He's back.
Yeah.
Now, somebody refresh my memory. When he was released, was it at least on decent terms? I know some guys got their asses kicked to the curb. Others, it was a handshake and see you later. But I don't remember in his case. I thought there was...
I heard rumblings that he was pissed off with the direction that his character was going. So he pretty much demanded his release.
Okay.
But that's never been confirmed nor denied. But according to people that were in attendance, Ono looks like he's in better shape than when he left. In fact, they say he looks like he's rumored to have lost 100 pounds since then, which I'm not going to complain about.
I'm not going to complain either, because In Shape Chris Hero is a lot of fun to watch. And I got to see a lot of him in HWA. He worked with HWA.
As a matter of fact, I have his release statement from 2013, if you're interested.
Yeah, show me.
There you go. Why don't you read that? There it is, right there. It looked like good terms, from what I'm saying.
Terminated sounds harsh. Come to an end in time. Yeah, I think he went out on a handshake. Yeah, okay. And it doesn't hurt that on, I think it's Hunter's Twitter feed, there's a picture of him shaking hands with Ono. So just all I ask is that, granted, this is a couple of years down the road. Please let's not have a feud with Ono and Owens over the rights to KO.
Oh, God. No, no, no.
That's why I was kind of hoping that, you know, that the... Well, no, he got that name before Joe attacked the name generator, so it might have stuck. Damn it. Damn it. I want Chris Hero, damn it. Anyway. But that's just me. That's just like everybody complained that when everybody jumped on Kenta getting his name changed. I knew Devitt was going to have his name changed, and it's working very well for him right now. Please show up at the Rumble.
You don't want him showing up at the Rumble and winning, because if he does, automatic win for me.
Only if it's at number 30.
God damn it.
I have the evidence. I made sure to record it. You called return 30 win.
And I stand by that statement.
who Balor 30 win, right? That's what you said.
Yeah.
That's what I said, yes. If he comes in at number one, I'll be pissed.
If he comes in at number one, I'm probably going to laugh until number three comes out.
Number three. Yeah, wait a minute. It's AJ Styles again. Wait a minute.
Sure, why not? And this time we're going to do the camera angles right.
It's number three and it's broken Matt Hardy. Everybody loses their shit.
God, if only.
It's like, McMahon, I've showed up to your show. It's like, I'm not actually in the Rumble match. I'm just here to make an announcement.
Go watch TNA. Yes, exactly.
Followed by security and half the locker room chasing him out of the building. Mm-hmm. I have my $9.99 at the ready.
And then Hulk Hogan tied shirt guy comes in to try and fight security with broken Matt. It's like, you're not moving me again.
Was somebody bitching about tie dye guy being a pain in the butt at Raw?
He got moved.
It wasn't tie dye guy. It was Hogan guy.
That's true. I didn't see the sign, so it wasn't tie dye guy. But it wasn't Roddy. It wasn't Roddy Hogan, the dude from, I think he lives in Michigan. So it's a new stupid fan.
Yes.
Huh, I thought it was tie-dye guy for some reason. But they moved this idiot? Because sometimes tie-dye guy goes a little over the line. I'll admit he's one of those guys that the internet... I'll give some leeway about complaining about. Nice enough guy, but he really likes his TV time.
Yeah, well, Hulk Hogan even apologized to him on Twitter. It's like, sorry, brother. Because they probably thought, because he apparently got moved because he looked too much like Hulk Hogan, to which Hulk Hogan replied to him and said, sorry, brother.
Yeah, we're not quite ready to do that. Save that till when we're closer to Mania.
Yeah, his exact words were, they probably thought that you were going to body slam and leg drop Braun Strowman.
That would, like, and Hogan wants to be heel again?
Put it to you this way, they also wouldn't mention Hogan on the Bring It to the Table if he isn't either signed or will be signed. You know that.
Right.
Yeah, Paul was pretty much like, next!
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Hulk Hogan. And I don't blame you, Polly. We don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about Hulk Hogan either.
And by the way, there was a lot of shooty shoot stuff there on that stuff. There was a lot of shooty shoot stuff.
And it was weird because this was. I'm going to mangle a word here. Schwarky. You know, there was, some of it was shoot, some of it was work, and Rosenberg was just getting mangled.
All I know is, if this does become a once a month thing, Rosenberg, for the love of God, please become more prepared next time.
Yeah, do your homework before you walk in the door, because these guys come loaded for bear and are used to stupid idiots like you.
Yeah, like especially with the Conor McGregor thing. I mean, Paul Heyman just looked at him like, you are an idiot, sir, because he's like, what did you guys think about the whole Twitter war between WWE superstars and Conor McGregor? It's like, suckers. Suckers, all of them.
Yeah. Look at that. You got free press. You're paying attention and you're talking. You're still talking about it. Yes. You paid attention to him and you're still talking about him. He did his job right. Sucker. You're all marks, anyway. And
yes, does Cordell, shut the fuck up.
No, to that, Paulie's 100% correct. And there was some discussion about that on the boards. Let me pull up what I had to say about it. Because there's a thread going on called "What's Wrong with Complaining About Wrestling?"
Everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with complaining, but there's something wrong with complaining, if you understand exactly my tonality.
There's nothing wrong with complaining, but at some point you gotta stop.
Perfect example, and this is one I brought up like ages ago when it first happened, was the thing of Roman Reigns. People are bitching about when people first started bitching about Roman Reigns. You assholes wanted him to win the Royal Rumble match. But then as soon as you found out Daniel Bryan was returning and cleared to wrestle, then you jumped on the Daniel Bryan bandwagon and started pissing on Roman Reigns. And as soon as Roman Reigns wins, then all of a sudden he's the bad guy. It's like, make up your freaking mind.
Yeah. And I just simply said, look, you know, all of us on the internet can complain all we want. But unless we are paying customers, or enough of us get together and stop being paying customers, WWE has no need to listen. A lot of the people that complain do not buy merchandise, do not go to shows. Sporadically on and off the network, on and off their network subscriptions. So WWE is still getting your money.
Exactly.
So, have viewing numbers gone down since the Attitude Era? Yeah, sure, because there's 100 million new options. WWE still has mostly full arenas. When you see a televised event, do you see a lot of empty seats? No. The merchandise is still selling. Ticket prices have gone up considerably in the last 5 years, and people are still paying it. And here's my example, and I quote, "Those that don't watch and complain anyway are invalid to the conversation. It's like me complaining about porn and I don't watch it. It's kind of pointless since there are millions and millions of people who watch porn, and my not contributing to it is going to change anything. That goes for the internet fans that aren't giving them money, and when there are a dozen others who like what they're seeing and are paying money for it. No porn site's going to go bankrupt because I ain't watching. WWE isn't going to go bankrupt if IWC ain't watching." So, go ahead, Shane.
I was just gonna say, we talked about this on the show ages ago. Like, this is back when I first got started with the show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I think it was Jason or someone else brought it up. They're like, if you want to watch hardcore wrestling, go watch CCW. If you're that interested in the ECW/Attitude Era, watch it. CCW. If you want to watch the watch all the acrobatics and everything like that, go to Lucha Underground. There's so many options that you guys can watch, but yet you choose to bitch and moan about WWE or TNA. Why? You still watch it, yet you choose to bitch and moan when you could easily just go with the technology today. You can go in, type up what you want to watch, and watch the goddamn thing.
Yeah. If you like your Attitude Era, go, you know, you could even just go to YouTube. You don't even have to pay $9.99 for it. And oh, by the way, some stuff you're probably going to have to go to YouTube to watch because there's a new round of censoring going on.
What?
Let me pull this up real quick. There's a new round of music censoring going on.
Okay.
From WWE Network is now removing any footage of wrestlers singing copyrighted songs on older episodes of Raw and SmackDown. WWE has been replacing entrance music or music used in video packages for years, but this is the first time they have started cutting out footage of wrestlers singing words to popular songs. In particular, the March 12th, 2012 Raw episode isn't on the network, but everything else is, because for the entire show, they hyped a concert from The Rock at the end of the night. WWE now won't air that segment on the network because of the singing, so they've just skipped the whole damn episode. Meaning, rock concerts are being removed.
Because, you want to know why?
Because it's not seen as parody.
No, it is because, if I remember that, the 2012, is that the one where he goes, "Bitch, you look horrible tonight"? Is that the one?
Yeah, but
hell,
they're saying,
"No, bitch, you look horrible tonight." Sorry.
No. It's the fact. It's the fact that the songs are not altered enough. That
he played it straight. He played one Eric Clapton's "Wonderful Tonight" straight up.
Right, but there are other rock concerts where he parodies songs, and those are going to get pulled.
What about? Yeah, I can imagine that. I forget the episode. It was one. It was an episode from the Invasion angle. With Austin and The Rock at the end, and I think it was like the Raw before Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
And they sang Margaritaville together.
Yep, that's gone.
So Margaritaville's gone. All of Rock's concerts are gone. Hell, probably the classic of Kurt Angle in a cowboy hat playing the ukulele. That's gone.
Well, no, because Kumbaya is public domain, if I'm not mistaken. And Jimmy Crack Corners is.
I was gonna say, didn't freaking Kurt sing "Jimmy Crack Corn"? That was Austin that sang "Kumbaya."
Yeah. But
although I'll give them points for one that they did take away: "Wind Beneath Our Ring" from SummerSlam 2001 is gone.
You.
Good riddance.
Thank you.
Good fucking riddance.
That Midler was going, "Damn, take that shit off."
I would have sued him in 2001, Betty. Where were you?
I can still hear Stephanie
singing, for lack of a better term. Which is one of, she sings in a way that most cats will walk up to the speaker and howl back at her.
And it was at that exact moment, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul Levesque wanted to marry Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, God. Although I did.
Well, it's true. Because didn't he marry her? Because if it was back in 2002, didn't he get married to her a year later?
Well, the McMahon Helmsley storyline stuff is from 2000.
No.
And it lasted
until
2002 when they didn't get actually married until like 2005.
'03.
Oh, I thought it was later than that.
Yeah, so 1 year later, ladies and gentlemen, that was at that exact moment that Paul's like, "I want to marry you." Because you took a Bette Midler song and completely fucked it.
So, the Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit themes for Undertaker have all been overdubbed with that horrible "You're Gonna Pay" song.
Oh, God.
Oh, I hated that song.
That's all right. I can still hear you can still go to YouTube and find the good old-fashioned Kid Rock one.
I've seen it, yes.
The creepy little children.
He's here.
Well, actually, I wonder if that... No, he's got the whole world at his hands as public domain, so all of Wyatt's stuff with that is going to be intact, although I think they might get rid of the one with all the kids.
But that was the best part that made it so creepy.
Does that mean it's so creepy awesome?
Yes. Because when you got a little kid that's supposed to be a John Cena fan with a Darth Vader voice going, "He's got the whole world." It's like, and saying Cena look like he just dropped a bundle.
So yeah. So it's, you know, it's something that WWE is not taking any chances on because they've already gone through a couple of lawsuits over songs. So there's a couple of other questions that have come up. Near the end of Trevor Murdoch's run, he was singing. He actually had a decent singing voice, so I'm guessing those are gone.
What about the NXT stuff with Aiden English?
I don't see anything on that in here. Okay, you guys were talking about Jimmy Crack Corner and Kumbaya. Yeah, those are still there, but We Are the Champions has been taken out.
Not a really big loss there, but I'll take it.
They're essentially saying we don't want to pay royalties because that's some really murky waters. That could be tied up in the courts for decades. So much for my completely unedited stuff. I mean, I knew some things were gonna remain edited, such as Enter Sandman from the first One Night Stand. Boo.
I don't think they even paid the royalties to have that on the DVD, did they?
No.
They paid it for once.
Because Metallica was charging them an arm and two legs for it.
I thought it was like $250,000 or something like that.
Something ridiculous like that, because that's why they only used a little bit of a Metallica song in a recent WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's all we're going to pay for. So you gave him $25,000 for 10 seconds of music.
And Motorhead's like, and Lemmy's like, screw it. I'll do it for a bottle of Jack.
Yeah. And Hunter'd say, yeah, here's your bottle. Let's get started. Oh, can I just listen in?
Yeah, exactly. His story at the funeral was so damn funny. I'm sorry. Hunter's story. About when Lemmy was playing some festival, and he was there with Stephanie, mm-hmm. and Hunter was there, mm-hmm. and there was, like, you know, topless girls and illegal drugs, and when Stephanie came in, they all got their clothes on. And Lemmy was... You know that, right?
Yeah, I remember Paul Levesque talking about that story. I was like, dude, if your wife had caught you in that scenario and Lemmy hadn't covered for your ass, we were like,
But the fact that the whole band covered for Hunter is actually pretty funny.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. It's just like nothing. Yeah, topless chicks, cocaine,
booze everywhere, and we're just having fun. You know, I'm not having any of it, but I'm digging the topless chicks. And then Stephanie shows up. Stephanie's going to show up. Everybody runs around, put their clothes on, hide the drugs, hide your kids, hide your wives. Here comes the one car.
And the fact, and I hope to God this is true, but if that exact moment was the first time that Stephanie was hearing that about that story and Paul Levesque talking about it on live TV, it's like, oh, Paul, you screwed up.
I don't think she cares.
No, I think she laughed, slapped him once, and laughed some more.
Probably made him sleep on the couch that one night, just like... Yeah, you're so sleeping on the couch tonight.
The poor guy's outnumbered when he gets home. This is why he enjoys his power in WWE so much, because as soon as he gets home, he's got to deal with four women.
Four on one.
Yeah,
just wait, ladies and gentlemen. In 20 years' time, you will see a female WWE champion, guarantee. Because that's when Triple H's daughters will be running the business.
Well, they'll find a way. He'll find a way.
Well, I mean, right now, I'm trying to see.
His oldest daughter's what, 13?
I think.
Oh, he's going through the time where he wants to lock up his daughter, because otherwise Sledgy comes out.
It was July 6th, 06, so like 11.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, and, I can't, for some reason, I can see a little cartoon, I see a cartoon of Hunter chasing his daughters with a sledgehammer, and then him getting chased by Stephanie and his daughters while she's wielding the sledgehammer.
I just see a cartoon version, and please, WWE Network, you can take this idea for all I care, but if you want to do parodies, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best parody you can do. DX, Triple H and Shawn Michaels doing a Bad Boys 2 parody of some little 13-year-old, 14-year-old kid coming to the door, Triple H's house, knocking on the door to take his 13-year-old daughter out, and Triple H answering the door with a sledgehammer going, "What do you want?"
I mean, his daughters are 10, 8, and 6 right now as we speak.
Oh, okay, well, there goes that idea.
But he's still a very happy daddy, judging from a couple of pictures that I've seen.
Yeah.
And frankly, I find it even funnier. And I think we made this joke on the show a while ago, the fact that Stephanie has three daughters, Shane has three sons. This is one screwed up Brady Bunch in the making.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, there's got to be a reality show with this someday.
There was a story of a man named Paulie who married into a wealthy family.
Oh my gosh. My brain hurts. That does it. I'm getting out of this show before I do more any more damage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're breaking
and because we have to watch and we have a match to watch.
Yes, we have an awesome match to watch, which I'm actually I've just seen the entrances and Kenny Omega, damn you and your Terminator.
Oh, and just one other thing.
Yeah.
The reason why also Undertaker and Raw are Undertaker and Shane are there. Shawn Michaels are there. Monday night is the championship football game in college football between Alabama and Clemson. You see?
Forget it. You may as well just do a throw. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck with those ratings.
Yeah, they're going to get crushed, okay?
They're going to get spanked even with all that manpower. Nope, sorry.
I mean, put it this way, it's going to be Roll Tide. Sorry, you know.
Oh yeah.
So.
But their numbers will go up steadily once Alabama just starts spanking Clemson left and right.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah. It's not going to be fun, but that's it, right? We're done.
That'll do it. So, but before we go. We still got to sell some soap. Hey, VRM, you got anything to promote?
Well, I would if we had had shows the last couple weeks, but real life's a bitch.
Ugh.
Tis.
Yeah, yep. I'll explain what the real life is in a minute, but we'll get there.
Yeah, because we've got some week 16 and week 17 and some... bad injuries for a couple of quarterbacks.
Very, very bad injuries.
To the point where it might affect the wild card games, which are happening this weekend on BS. So,
VRM, do you have anything to promote?
I was kind of promoting BS there.
Very good. I apologize. I should have been paying more close attention. Jason, go ahead and explain all this.
Unfortunately, and our chief high muckety muck, Carl Schneider, let's just say he had some technical issues. Let me rephrase that. 3, 2, 1. He had some technical issues, and he had to chase down a crackhead. For real. You read this. This is crazy.
Wait, what?
His store got robbed again because he works at a convenience.
Oh.
Okay. So we're going to try and catch up on some stuff. WLTI got a little – I think we took a week off. We'll be back. Pixel Nation will be back in the next week or so. Red State, Blue State will be back in time for the inauguration. We had another mass shooting down by your way, Nikki.
Well, no, I was down in Fort Lauderdale, so it was probably closer to Chris Waters.
Chris Waters area. Not very good stuff there. Touch 'em All will be back right after the Hall of Fame is announced. It's in about 2 weeks, I would think. A lot of the shows are just waiting for stuff, you know, to happen because it is the new year. We're still recovering from stuff. And, of course, you can listen to all the – oh, and, of course, the panel with Gordon Pepper. And you can listen to all the shows here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, and every watch anywhere and anywhere. So, there you go.
Now, Me and Chris Waters, of course, are still trying to find our way around with paper review. He's got to update his recording facilities, and that's taking some time. So we'll be back when we get back. I'm also just going to throw a shout out there to the Minnesota Vikings and US Bank Stadium. You know, that you guys gave me a great game to watch. That is a beautiful facility. So, Vince, what the fuck?
And they're supposedly going back to Superdome.
And yeah, you're going to Orlando. You're doing Orlando this year, and you're doing New Orleans next year. It's a closed roof. It's a hard closed roof. It's not going to cave in on your ass, I think. And somehow the field looks a whole lot bigger on my television. But that's just me. And I still believe the booking was very good. Anyway, on that note, for Bad News Beeman, for VRM, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. Welcome to 2017. It will be better than 2016. I know that's a very low bar. See you next week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at spectrumone.net.